This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Revoking Saudi visas. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, October 24, thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Describing the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi and the cover-up of the incident a total fiasco, President Trump's vowing to revoke the visas of those involved.
National Security Advisor John Bolton tells Russia about Washington's plans to withdraw from a nuclear arms treaty.
A winning Mega Millions ticket in South Carolina is worth $1.6 billion, the largest jackpot in history.
And how U.S. election vulnerabilities have been exposed with the latest indictment of a Russian national.
The Justice Department unsealed these criminal charges against a Russian national. A woman that they claimed is running all these finances for a Russian political influence campaign known as Project Laka. They said that they were part of a conspiracy to interfere in U.S. elections, and it was the first criminal charge tied to November's midterm elections.
Jacqueline Thompson at The Hill on whether the U.S. has done enough to stop Russian attempts to interfere in elections. Her report in about 10 minutes. Calling it the worst cover-up ever, President Trump promised to revoke the visas of Saudi officials believed to have had a hand in the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Mr. Trump spoke hours after Turkey's president yesterday rejected an explanation by Saudi Arabia that Mr. Khashoggi was killed by rogue operatives in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul 3 weeks ago. The incident has not only strained relations between Riyadh and Washington, but also led to global outrage.
It should have never been done. But once they thought about it, everything else they did was bad, too. The cover-up was horrible. The execution was horrible.
For Saudi Arabia's allies, the question will be whether they believe the narrative from Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who has positioned himself as a reformer. Mr. Trump said the killing and subsequent cover-up by Saudi Arabia were a total fiasco. Mr. Khashoggi, a critic of the Crown Prince, is a Washington Post columnist. Thousands of Central American migrants marching toward the United States say they won't be deterred by threats from other nations' leaders, including President Trump. The president said he would send as many troops to the border as necessary to stop the migrants' caravan, which yesterday was at least 1,100 miles from McAllen, Texas, the nearest place they could reach the U.S. Meanwhile, President Trump is accusing Democrats of possibly funding the caravan. This after comments by Vice President Mike Pence.
President Honduras, when this caravan was initiated, he told me that it had been organized by leftist groups in Honduras that were being financed in part by Venezuela.
The migrants have pushed past police with riot shields, jumped on makeshift rafts, slept stranded on a bridge without food or water, and trudged miles from their home in Honduras, across Guatemala, and into Mexico. President Trump has tweeted that he would cut aid to three Central American countries he accused of failing to stop the group. National Security Advisor John Bolton says the U.S. will move forward with a plan to quit a landmark nuclear arms control pact, despite objections from Russia and some European countries. Mr. Bolton met with Russian President Vladimir Putin for about 90 minutes yesterday in the Kremlin. Moscow says if Washington leaves the INF, or Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces, it would be dangerous. And many European countries have warned it could reignite an arms race. Mr. Bolton says the 1987 treaty from the Cold War era did not address new missile threats from countries such as China, Iran, and North Korea.
Just within, I think, the past 2 days, China has issued a statement that says it wants the United States to stay in the INF treaty. And if I were living in Beijing, I'd probably think the same thing, but I'm not.
Moscow has warned Washington it will be forced to respond in kind if the Trump administration carries through. The INF eliminated all short and intermediate range land-based nuclear and conventional missiles held by both the U.S. and Russia, plus Europe. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Both officials and experts have been warning for months that Russia is trying to influence voters after the country successfully launched a cyber and disinformation campaign in the 2016 election. The recent indictment of a Russian national accused of trying to interfere in U.S. elections shows that perhaps not enough has been done to stop the country from launching a multi-million-dollar effort to influence American voters. More from Jacqueline Thompson, cybersecurity reporter at The Hill. Jacqueline, what do we have?
On Friday, the Justice Department unsealed these criminal charges against a Russian national, a woman that they claimed is running all these finances for a Russian political influence campaign known as Project Latka. They said that they were part of a conspiracy to interfere in U.S. elections, and it was the first criminal charge tied to November's midterm elections. And that was significant because several charges have been brought forth against Russians for their political influence campaigns in the past. For example, Robert Mueller has indicted several Russian military officers for the hack of the DNC in 2016, and he's also indicted this group known as the Internet Research Agency, which is a Russian troll farm that really helps promote these influence campaigns. And so what was interesting about this particular charge is that it also highlighted the Internet Research Agency, but showed that it continued to be active in the wake of that indictment from Robert Mueller. So the question is, are these indictments an actual deterrent to preventing these sorts of campaigns? And at this point, experts are saying that not enough has been done to really shut down those efforts, and that more action needs to be taken, particularly on the part of the president in being more critical of Russia.
All right. So that came up a couple of times, I think, from at least two or three different people in your story saying there has to be tougher stances on the part of the U.S. or the Trump administration or the president. But what do they mean? Is there anything specific they'd like to see in terms of a way to somehow punish or sanction Russia?
Yeah, for sure. So one phrase that always goes around in the cyberspace is something called whole of government response, which is something where you want agencies across the government to be really strong and determined in their stance against a specific cyber actor who may be acting poorly, in this case, hacking or launching influence campaigns. And so they're saying that the Department of Homeland Security has stepped it up, the Department of Justice has stepped it up, but we're not necessarily seeing it from the president. You remember a couple months ago, everyone kind of was upset over some of the president's statements at a press conference with Vladimir Putin, where he said that Putin denied that Russia interfered in the elections and that he seemed to believe him. And then he later backtracked that statement. So it's instances like that that kind of cast doubt about whether or not the U.S. is coming strong against Russia in their own attempts to influence campaigns and elections.
We're speaking with Jacqueline Thompson, cybersecurity reporter at The Hill. Her piece is called Experts Say Latest Russia Case Exposes the U.S. Election Vulnerabilities. So can these tougher positions or perhaps sanctions actually change Russia's behavior? Has anybody said that?
So that's something that people are starting to say. It's actually interesting that this is coming up because the New York Times reported today that for the first time, cyber operations are actually targeting Russia and that U.S. officials are contacting these Russian operatives to let them know that we're seeing what they're doing and that they can be indicted and that they can be sanctioned. And that's something that experts are saying that if it's done enough, that it can ultimately make the cost of conducting such a campaign high enough that it's no longer worth the risk. So what really needs to be done is shown that if Russia does this, they will face a penalty, and it will be a penalty that comes at an actual detriment to them instead of, say, an indictment where no one can actually be brought to the U.S. and actually brought up on these charges. So making sure that these penalties are strong enough and that they're clear enough that this cost is actually increased so that Russia will then stop responding in the ways that they are.
Any sense that it's still going on now, these attempts to interfere?
So not so much an attempt to interfere, which is considered maybe an attack on election infrastructure or something along those lines, but there are definitely persistent and consistent influence campaigns, and election officials have been saying that for months, and they're still saying it to this day. But the DOJ complaint that came out on Friday was really the first sign of that actually continuing to happen at this point.
Thanks, Jacqueline. Jacqueline Thompson, cybersecurity reporter at The Hill. This portion of the program is brought to you by Brooklinen. Brooklinen Sheets, named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world, over 20,000 five-star reviews. Brooklyn was started by a husband and wife team who didn't think it should be so difficult and expensive to get quality sheets at home. Their mission? Bring five-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life. They're luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Brooklinen sheets don't just feel great, they also look great too. Kelly and I have them in our house. Brooklinen sheets are the best and most comfortable sheets. And right now, brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code DEAL at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee, plus a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code DEAL at brooklinen.com. That's B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N, brooklinen.com, and the promo code DEAL. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever. Join us. We've got them in our house. Brooklinen.com with the promo code DEAL. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to President Trump, says the effort to conceal the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi at a Saudi consulate in Turkey was the worst cover-up ever.
The execution was no good, and the cover-up, if you want to call it that, were certainly no good.
Trump declined to say what the U.S. might do in response to Khashoggi's death. Shortly after Trump spoke, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the U.S. would punish certain Saudis who have been connected to the killing, including revoking visas. Still more than 1,000 miles from their goal of reaching the U.S., a caravan of Central American migrants briefly halted their arduous journey yesterday to mourn a fellow traveler killed in a road accident. Meanwhile, President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence continued to claim there are Middle Easterners in the group.
It's inconceivable that there are not people of Middle Eastern descent in a crowd of more than 7,000 people advancing toward our border.
Migrant charity workers say the rise of caravans could signal a new dynamic as migrants band together to seek to avoid hiring human traffickers who charge between $4,000 and $8,000 a person for dangerous treks to the U.S. southern border. Six young patients have died and 12 others are sick following an outbreak of a virus at a rehab center in Haskell, New Jersey. The virus frequently only causes mild illness, but health officials say in this case, the children had compromised immune systems. The 18 patients range in age from a toddler through young adulthood. A weakened Willa has been downgraded to a tropical storm after a landfall as a Category 3 hurricane in western Mexico. With life-threatening storm surge, wind, and rainfall still active throughout the region, the storm came ashore with winds of 120 miles per hour and have since died down to 45 miles an hour.
That is hammered in the left. It is gone. Pinch hit three-run home run, Nunez. And the Red Sox open up game one.
Joe Buck on Fox says the Red Sox pulled away from the Dodgers to win Game 1 of the World Series last night, 8-4. Game 2 set for tonight in Boston.
How about that? Like, you just come off the bench cold.
Yeah, literally cold.
Yeah.
And figuratively cold.
Right, and rip a three-run pinch hit home run. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. With Halloween just around the corner and total spending on related expenses projected to reach over $9 billion this year, the personal finance website WalletHub is out with its annual Best Places for Halloween report. We're joined now by WalletHub senior analyst Jill Gonzalez. Jill, who made the list?
We'll start with number five, nice and warm, San Diego in California. Then Irvine, California was number four. Los Angeles was number three. And then completely opposite side of the country, Jersey City, New Jersey was number two, and New York City was number one.
How about that? The coasts. So what? Anything that stood out in those particular cities? Any unusual or, happenings or traditions worth a mention?
Well, the weather certainly helps out in California, but even out east now, it's going to be a mild time, even the weekend preceding and after Halloween are all expected to be pretty mild, so that's helpful across the board. But in New York and in Jersey City, a lot of these pop-up costume stores, which really not only give people a lot of options, but it actually gives back to the local economy quite a bit just around October.
Wow. Now, it's interesting you mentioned the weather, because also in the top 10, Chicago, Illinois, which can be obviously chilly this time of year, and St. Paul, Minnesota, late October, right? Those that you got some warriors going out to trick or treat or party on in those cities at this time of year.
Yes, I think they're definitely used to it, and even there, we're expecting more mild temperatures now. I'm sure that won't keep throughout the next upcoming months. But yes, Chicago and St. Paul, milder than usual, which certainly helps, and a lot of different things to do.
How about some of the stats with regards to Halloween? It does seem we're spending more and more each year.
Yeah, right now the average U.S. household is expected to spend around $90 on Halloween expenses, so decorations, treats, costume, but this is now the third most popular holiday in America, and because of that, we are going to see more parties, we're seeing more advertising for it. Just nationwide, we're projected to spend just under $10 billion this year.
That's impressive. We're speaking with Jill Gonzalez, senior analyst at Wallet Hub, and they've put together their annual list of the best places for Halloween. What other stats stood out?
Now we're seeing about 50% of Americans plan to decorate their home or their yard. That number goes up, and of course, those things cost money as well. Another 50% plan to dress in costumes this year, and among that, the most popular for kids, it's still superheroes and Disney princesses. Witches came in after that, and a good 5% of Americans plan on being President Trump.
Is the nature of us spending more on Halloween tied to the economy and that things are good to the economy? I'm just surprised at the amount of spending or at least the growth tied to Halloween spending.
Yeah, and you know, we're spending more on pretty much every holiday. We saw the same thing for 4th of July. Now we're seeing the same thing for Halloween. We expect to see the same thing on Christmas and the holidays coming up. So I think it definitely does speak to the overall economy. But it's that and it's this social media world, especially Halloween is such a visual holiday and people want to show exactly how they're decorating, how they're dressing up, and that comes with some money to spend.
Thanks, Jill. Jill Gonzalez, senior analyst at Wallet Hub. 30 minutes after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they are applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples helps keep your business moving with a huge selection of ink and toner, always in stock and always priced low. And during Staples' printing event this month, the prices are even lower. Staples. U.S. steel producers, which prevailed in their push for the Trump administration to impose tariffs on imported steel and aluminum, have also proved equally effective and far more effective than any other industries at avoiding tariffs they don't want. It's a story from Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Zumbrun. Josh, what have you found?
What happened in the most recent round of tariffs is, you know, the United States has switched focus a little bit and is aimed at China. And so the way it works, you got to understand the way it works to understand the story, is that the government publishes a list of all the stuff that we import from China. And it says, you know, we want to put tariffs on half of this list. Is there anything that we shouldn't include, that we shouldn't put tariffs on? And so the government puts this out for a request. The U.S. Trade Representative is the office that does it. And industries can kind of write in and say, don't put this on, don't put that on, you know, we import that. And it turns out we went through and looked at what products had been taken off this list when the U.S. government actually did this against China. They put $200 billion of tariffs in place earlier this year, just last month. And we looked at what industries were asking to get things taken off the list. It turns out that one of the most successful of all industries was the steel industry. So earlier in the year, they were asking for tariffs to protect them. Now they're asking for tariffs to be taken off the stuff that they want to bring into the country. And so they've really been successful at getting the government to, you know, work with them in both directions, whether it's adding tariffs to protect them or whether it's taking away tariffs that they benefit from their removal.
I don't know that dollar-wise they've necessarily done the best, but it does seem like on a per-request basis, the steel industry has done very well in getting certain tariffs struck out.
Right, that's a key point. So they requested about 130 different products be removed from the list of items to receive tariffs. And they got about half of their list accepted, which is much more successful than other industries. If you kind of look line by line, I mean, there's this whole system where different products have their own line, and they can be very specific. You know, they can be a specific metal, like a rare metal, like molybdenum, or they can be a specific piece of machinery. So the steel industry asked for 132 items, I believe was the number to come off, and they got about half of them. Now, there's other industries that ask for a lot more items, like the National Retail Federation asked for, I think we said, over 1,000 items to be removed, and they only got, you know, a small handful, 3% or 4% or something like that, taken off. But some of the items they got taken off were pretty big-ticket items. So one of these examples is a lot of Apple products, you know, the stuff that goes into an Apple Watch and some of the stuff that goes into iPhones were taken off the list. And so that's only one or two items, but they're huge in volume. As compared to some of these, you know, as compared to some of these things the steel industry requested. Yeah. Molybdenum, the rare earth metal, is an example there. You know, it's significant for the steel industry, but it's not anywhere near as significant of an import as something like an iPhone.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Zumbrun. He's written a story entitled "The Steel Industry Gets What It Wants on Tariffs." So back to that initial point then, why has the steel industry done so well here?
You know, I think the conclusion that a lot of people are kind of worried about is that there's an element of favoritism in play. That when the government gets so involved in a policy like this, where they're picking individual products, individual industries to penalize or to protect, that it's inevitably the case that the government is picking winners and losers. You know, this is traditionally something that Republicans didn't like. Republicans traditionally have not wanted the government to pick winners and losers. But obviously, this is a Republican administration carrying out this strategy, and so it's kind of introduced an interesting tension. A lot of the people who are kind of traditional Republicans on trade policy are really unhappy with this, you know, really dramatic shift in what their party does on trade. And, you know, the steel industry is one that the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross was very involved in as an investor before he came into the government. The head of the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, Robert Lighthizer, was a attorney representing the steel industry. They were one of his big clients for a very large number of years. And so there's a feeling that, you know, because the government has gotten so involved in picking winners and losers on trade, that the ties that these people had to this industry have made them a little bit more sympathetic to their request.
Thanks, Josh. Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Zumbrun. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday Beyond the Headlines. Now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it didn't take long for the Red Sox to jump on the Dodgers in Game 1 of the World Series, nor did it take long for all of us to win free tacos. In the bottom half of the first inning, the Red Sox Mookie Betts led off with a single up the middle, then stole second on the very next pitch from Dodgers starter Clayton Kershaw. The stolen base triggered Taco Bell's long-running steal a base, steal a taco promotion, earning free tacos for everyone with access to a U.S. Taco Bell location on November 1st between 2 and 6 p.m. USA Today says Betts joins a growing list of taco securers that includes Francisco Lindor, Lorenzo Cain, Cameron Maben, and of course, Jacoby Ellsbury, better known in some circles as Tacoby Bellsbury. I hadn't heard that before, but apparently that's a thing. At least he's known for something, because he didn't play once for the Yankees this past season.
Oh, right.
People were starting to get scared that we weren't going to be getting our free tacos, because stolen bases are much more scarce in baseball. That, right. Every year there are fewer and fewer stolen bases, but the Red Sox, thankfully, are a team that steals a decent amount of bases still, so it didn't take long for Betts to get us all some tacos.
Ah, fear not.
Yes. Mookie Betts will save the day again.
I like your phrase. People were starting to get scared that they weren't going to get their free stuff,
right?
Which they did nothing to earn.
Exactly. Right? But, at this point, we've been getting it every year, so we're kind of used to it.
Okay.
We feel like we deserve that taco every year for watching, two teams that, neither one of these teams are my teams.
Right.
So if you're going to watch the World Series, you might as well get a free taco for it.
Fair enough.
That's the way I feel.
There's another trend like that. I think it's at Villa Italian Kitchen today.
Okay.
Is offering a free slice of cheese pizza the purchase of a beverage. If you show your losing lottery ticket from the Mega Millions last night.
Okay.
So kind of jumping on the food trend. So,
all right.
If you're a loser in the lottery, you can have your cheese slice with a beverage of some kind and also a free taco, apparently. So.
I was all for that until I had to purchase a beverage first, too, to get my free slice. But well, I guess if I did lose the lottery, I guess I can't be too picky about it. And let this be another free-of-charge lesson, Gordon, to would-be criminals. You can't gas your way out of trouble. You might remember we told you the story a few months back of a 25-year-old Kansas City man who was a passenger in a car pulled over by police. In the car, police found a backpack containing drugs and guns. A detective reported that during an interview later, when asked for his address, the man leaned to one side of his chair and passed gas loudly before answering. Court documents say the man continued to be flatulent, and the detective was forced to quickly end the interview. No matter, though, the gassy man still had to answer to charges. He pleaded guilty to federal drug and gun charges, and no matter how he smells, will be sentenced at a later date.
Mm. Didn't work, huh?
I mean, he tried. You got to give him points for trying, I guess.
All those tacos, perhaps.
Right.
Or whatever he was eating.
Yes. So he did manage to postpone things, at least for a day anyway, so we got at least one more day without having to, I guess, feel the reckoning.
How bad could it have been?
Yeah, I mean,
with the police officer actually reporting it.
Yeah, I mean,
over and over again, it seems like this guy's letting him rip.
I love that it's in the court documents. He continued to be flatulent.
It's
in his permanent record.
13 minutes now in front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for being with us. Certain medical fundraising efforts could do more harm than good for some patients. That's according to a new research letter published yesterday in the medical journal JAMA. CNN says the paper found that more than 1,000 online medical crowdfunding campaigns have raised nearly $6.8 million intended for several treatments that are either potentially dangerous or yet to be scientifically supported as effective. The paper specifically tracked funding for five treatments: homeopathy or naturopathy for cancer, hyperbaric oxygen therapy known as HBOT for brain injury, stem cell therapy for brain injury and spinal cord injury, and long-term antibiotic therapy for chronic Lyme disease. The co-author says we sometimes don't listen to what the experts are telling them. He calls it anti-science. The researchers found that the most money was raised by the 474 campaigns collecting funds for homeopathic or naturopathic cancer treatments at more than $3 million. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, if you bought a Mega Millions ticket in South Carolina, you better check it. You could be the winner. State officials say a winning ticket for the $1.6 billion lottery, the largest ever, was sold in South Carolina. Meanwhile, the California Lottery says it sold 8 tickets matching 5 of the 6 numbers. Those ticket holders will win a still undetermined amount of prize money. And there could be more lucky ticket holders. Not all states have reported if they sold any partially winning ticket numbers. President Trump is escalating his attacks on Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, saying the head of the nation's central bank threatens U.S. economic growth and appears to enjoy raising interest rates. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Trump said, "Every time we do something great, he raises the interest rates," adding that Powell almost looks like he's happy raising interest rates. The president says it's too early to say, but maybe he regrets nominating Powell. The first debate between Democrat Stacey Abrams and Republican Brian Kemp in the race for Georgia governor was dominated by charges of voter suppression and counterclaims of encouraging illegal voting. Kemp says there is no suppression.
We've had record turnouts in our last presidential election, and we're having record turnouts right now. And this farce about voter suppression and people being held up from being on the rolls and being able to vote is absolutely not true.
Abrams disagreed.
Under Secretary Kemp, more people have lost the right to vote in the state of Georgia. They've been purged, they've been suppressed, and they've been scared. This is a man who had someone arrested for helping her blind father cast a ballot.
Polls in Georgia indicate the race is a dead heat. If neither candidate gets more than 50% of the vote on Election Day, a Libertarian candidate will also be on the ballot. The top two finishers will head to a runoff election on December 4th. Well, if you're superstitious, you might want to pass on this one. A replica of the Titanic is set to embark on its maiden voyage by 2022 and eventually follow its doomed predecessor's original route from Southampton to New York. The company behind the Titanic 2 project, Blue Star Line, says the new Titanic, which will cost about $500 million to build, could hold 2,400 passengers and 900 crew members.
I have no doubt that'll sell out.
Would you go on that boat?
Not sure.
You got a couple years to think about it.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. An Alabama teenager has gone viral after returning a lost cell phone and wallet filled with nearly $300 cash left behind at a supermarket. Sheila Spencer, the owner of the misplaced items, posted on Facebook to rave about a 17-year-old named Anthony, an employee at a Piggly Wiggly in Birmingham. Ms. Spencer explained how she'd been shopping at the store after work. Later that evening, she noticed her wristlet, which held her phone and money, was missing. That's when she realized she left it in the cart at the store. After calling and confirming it'd been found, she asked the store manager who turned it in. And a young man named Anthony was identified. She was so impressed with him that she even gave him a $100 reward and called his mom to tell her how grateful she was. She explained she hoped Anthony's good deed would go viral because we hear very little about kids when they do something positive. And she wants to show other young men and ladies that there is honor in doing the right thing. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.